the first superlative I have for you tonight is that the amount of weapons in this wide receiver room could possibly be the scariest part of this football team. You look at what they're doing, and I know that Justin Fields hasn't really had the explosive game yet where he goes for over like 300 yards through the air, in which the Dwayne train did almost every single time out last season.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at this team and who they have catching balls from Justin Fields, like Chris Olave, Austin Mack, Garrett Wilson, KJ Hill, Ben Victor, Dobbins out of the backfield. Like, they have so many pass catchers and so many options that it's like a big security blanket out there, knowing that you have these guys in your locker room to basically take forward the rest and what you need to get for passing offense is terrifying if you're an opposing defense.
It's what were Fields' numbers again? You're looking at the box right there. What was his passing yardage in this game?
He was 194.
194.
Four touchdowns, five incompletions. Almost threw as many touchdowns as he did incompletions.
I don't know how he's looking so fresh. Fresh in a good way, meaning awesome. He just looks awesome and efficient. And Austin Mack, you know, had the drop to start the game.
Yeah.
I think Ben Victor had that post route over the middle. Might have been a 20, 30-yard completion. Dropped that one, too. You know, it might have been like a foot behind him, but he could make that play. Other than that, yeah, that's only three other incomplete passes the entire game. I don't know how this guy gets to a 300-yard passing day. He just looks so good, but the passing yardage just isn't there because there's so much balance on this team right now.
You're through seven games.
It's shocking to me.
He's got 48 incompletions on the year. Through seven games of college football. 48. He's completing 71% of his passes.
I mean, he's getting it done. The wide receivers, I'm nitpicking with a couple of, big deal, a couple of drops in a game. Guy's going to have a hand placed right on the football, and it's going to come loose every now and then. It's the game, you know? I will steer it away from the actual Northwestern game, and I saw something else over the weekend. I got to say, the Urban Meyer return to coaching thread has become the most exhausting sports topic in Buckeye land for us.
Right.
I don't know if it's certainly not up, you know, nationally the most exhausting one, but for what we do and always keeping one eye open on Urban and those things, we look fun at a time, right? It was fun to have those conversations.
Sure.
It's pure speculation is what it is. And to see like Fox News, you know, he's with them now, so they'll regurgitate that stuff. He's on with Colin Cowherd a lot. Urban sparks speculation about his interest in Cowboys head coaching job. They were talking about Lincoln Riley's interest.
Right.
And that's all pure speculation as well. And I know, like, that's a big job, so you know they're going to go fishing in a big sea to try to get a guy, and Lincoln Riley's name is surely going to be on there. Maybe Urban Meyer's name is going to be on that list. But is he going to want it so soon? And we have to do this now. Every time one little granule of something appears,
mm-hmm.
we got to put Urban Meyer to that job. He said, that's the Yankees. That's the Cowboys. That's the one. Great city. They got Dak, Zeke. You got a loaded team. And I can't speak for him. This is in the quote. I can't speak for him, obviously. I hate to even speculate because I don't know him. That's really not fair. But to me, that's the one job in professional football that you say, I got to go do that.
Second superlative for me, Devon Hamilton is the most underrated player on this football team. This was a guy who could have easily...
Most underrated.
He could have easily gotten buried somewhere. I mean, this is a guy who he played in 11 games last year for Ohio State. He had 16 total tackles. Good defensive player. Year before that, he had 12 tackles. This year, he's already got 11. Him and Chase Young are the only two defensive players to earn champion grades through all seven games of the year. And when those coaches are watching tape and they're going back and watching film of you and they're really nitpicking on what it means to be a champion after every single game, yeah, I'm willing to say that that guy is doing his job and is the most underrated football player on this team because he's not letting anything happen up the middle.
He is a good player. Good to see a Pick Central Tiger doing it like that too. So good job, Hamilton. Second one for me, The secret scrimmage, which I know we'll get a little bit more into this. Did you see the Buckeyes beat a top five team nationally?
Yeah, that's Jeff Goodman. Baby.
Jeff Goodman's in the know, baby. He tweets it out. He's like the Rothsteins and the Goodmans out there. They're behind all the closed doors in college basketball. But the secret scrimmage in college hoops is the most ridiculous thing to hide from fans for me. Why are we hiding it anymore? We're actually seeing teams start to open it up. We just saw CB and I were watching video, like that the actual school tweeted out.
Marquette, right?
Marquette tweeted out their own video from the scrimmage. Let's open these things up. We have the Midnight Madness and all those parties. You know, we don't have to have Snoop Dogg can't make it to every single party in college hoops. So let's open up some of these cool scrimmages with big teams playing each other. It's not about secrets getting out. We're going to start the season 10 days later, so who really cares?
I'm with you.
Let's watch.
Open door policy.
Let's
go.
The boy watch.
My last one, the special teams segment, or not the segment, but the sequence of the special teams on Friday.
Oh, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Drew Chrisman hammers down the punt at the 1 yard line. Long snapper Liam McCullough downs it at the one. The Ohio State defense forces a three and out, calls all three timeouts on a Northwestern run play, and then Blake Hobiel nails a 55-yard field goal, tying him with Mike Nugent for second all-time longest field goal in Ohio State history.
Man.
It was one of the best sequences of special teams you can possibly see. Those guys on this team, they are so relaxing, and to know that they go out there and do their jobs and you don't even need to think about them, that's awesome.
Beam, I have to highlight your fourth superlative because I'm using it as my third, but it's your fourth.
Cheater.
Because you didn't, yeah, I discussed it with you and you said, oh, shoot, I wasn't using that one, but it was the best one. You said it. One of the best / most disrespectful things is sort of in a good way, though.
Yes.
To an opposing fan base is when you get to do Stadium Ohio and just have it ring out across these great lands for all to hear. The best way to spread Buckeye cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
That's right. It is one of the most disrespectful things. Like, can you imagine being in Bloomington, being a Hoosier, being Maryland, you know, Penn State, somewhere like that, and just having a horde of Ohio State fans their cheer in your own stadium when you're just getting beat like a drum?
You're just getting 52-3, and you're like, oh, I'm just good for nothing. No, never amount to nothing.
Let alone that.
Just go home.
Probably against Northwestern, it was probably 50% Buckeyes in the stadium. I mean, that's embarrassing.
Might have been more.
May have been more. I don't know, but
didn't
it is.
See the other side of the field.
It is pretty disrespectful, and I thoroughly enjoy it whenever that comes across the broadcast.